Come on. All right. We're starting a new series today, talking about Esther. Who here has ever read the book of Esther? Anybody? I love it. We got, it's just a fun, stinking book to read. I was even just reading it, read it a couple times this week, and it just, I get so amped reading it. You'll have to see, because we got a devotional that we're going to be doing. We're covering Esther. So we didn't meet last week. Ever say, aw. And in 2 weeks, the Wednesday right before Thanksgiving, we don't meet. Say, aw. So we just got 2 weeks of talking about Esther. And so what we got a devotional that we're going to be handing out, where we're going to read through the book of Esther. It's 10 chapters. It's not that long. It's about like 3 paragraphs a day that we're reading. And so we got a devotional that'll guide you through the whole thing, 7 days. And so what's great about this is that if you miss a day or two, you can just pick right up where you left off and shoot for having it all read through by Thanksgiving. Okay? And so we got the 7-day devotions on there. It doesn't take long, probably half hour I'd challenge you to devote to. You could do it faster than that, but the more you give, the more you'll get. So I want to challenge you guys to read that. Honestly, it is such an easy read. I have a hard time putting it down. Multiple times I've read through it, and at the end, guys, it's just, there's so many twists and turns, and it's a story. So it's not a hard read. It's not like reading through genealogies and then like God gives these laws to these people. And so this is how you make a tent and the priest's robes and stuff like that. It's not like that. It is literally a story, and you're going through, and so it's really fun. I want to encourage you guys to do that. Read the devotional. So give me a woot woot if you're going to read the devotional. There you go. Come on. So, but I want to give you guys a little bit of context of what's going on. So Esther is this book about the nation of Israel, pretty much everything in the Old Testament, from Genesis 12 on is a story about the nation of Israel. Or Judah, which is like the little sister of Israel. And so Israel is in exile because they're like really bad at even trying to follow God. They will abandon God, and then a prophet will come and be like, hey, stop that. And they'll be like, okay, sorry. And then they'll go back over to it. And then a prophet will come, hey, stop that. Okay, sorry. Anyway, God said like 1,000 times, if you don't stop, I'm going to kick you out of the promised land. So they didn't stop. They eventually, after way too many times, God is way too gracious on us, right? Oh my goodness. Sometimes I deserve a lot worse than what I get all the time, actually. Anybody in the same boat, or is it just me? Yeah. So God's gracious, but he eventually kicks them out, doesn't destroy the nation, kicks them out of the promised land. And so that's where they're at. Babylon kicks them out, and then Persia takes over Babylon. And so that's where we're at right here, where Persia has taken over. Some of them are back in the promised land, but they're still ruled by Persia, and the rest of them are like scattered everywhere. And that's where we're at. And you have, it's kind of a complicated story. So what I want to do is I want to have some of you guys come up and help me with this story. So I need five volunteers to come up. I need a King Xerxes. I need a dude. I need a fella right here. Come on, Caleb. Come on up. King Xerxes. You see it? Just look at that. Look at that. That is his, yes, that is his crown. He's got like jewelry all over. We need a Queen Vashti. We need a lady. Who wants to be the lady? You want to come on up? I saw your hand. No, a lady. Come on, Maya. Yeah, come on up. You good. You won't even be up here very long. Queen Vashti dies. No, I'm kidding. Come on up. So here we go. Queen Vashti, she doesn't die. I'm making things up. You don't die. Then we need Esther. Esther. We got an Esther. I saw you right down here. There you go. Come on up, Lydia. There you go. And now we need a Mordecai. We got a Mordecai. Jack has kept his hand up this whole time. So Mordecai, come on over. Actually, you know what, Jack? You'd be a really good Haman. Haman's the bad guy. Haman is the bad guy. Yeah, and that's exactly what Haman's like. That's so good. Now I need a Mordecai. Ori, come on up. We need a Mordecai. Look at that. Ori, you are a really good Mordecai. So this is the story. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Esther. And you'll see that we're following word for word of the first four chapters of Esther. Not literally word for word. But this is essentially what happens. So, okay, Esther, Mordecai, you guys are over here. Xerxes, Haman, y'all are partying, okay? And Vashti, you guys party, like hang out, you're drinking, you are having fun. Yeah, exactly. You're at a banquet. And Xerxes, he's going like, check out, I'm loaded. Yes, just like that. And he's showing off all his jewelry, so show off your kicks. And be like, yeah, look at this. And Haman's like, you are so cool.
You are so cool, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And then Xerxes is like, just wait.
Just wait.
Till you see my smoking hot wife.
Till you see my smoking hot wife.
And so he's going to show off his wife, Queen Vashti. And he says, come on over, babe.
Come on over, babe.
And Queen Vashti, I need a lot of attitude from you, okay? Like, even more. Come on, get your hip out. Like, roll your eyes. And give me a real solid, yes, give me a real solid, yeah, look at that. And now, King Xerxes, your wife didn't come when you commanded. You look at that, he's loaded. So, King Xerxes, your wife didn't come, and so you'd be like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And so, what are you going to do, King Xerxes?
Divorce her.
Oh! And then he kicks Queen Vashti, get out of here. He kicks her out, and she is no longer a queen. And so, yeah, see, give Maya a hand. There you go. Great Queen Vashti. Anyway, and so King Xerxes is over here. He's needing a wife, and he's like, find me some ladies.
Find me some ladies.
So Haman and his fellas go all around and they find all the prettiest ladies in the town of Persia. And one of these, and way over here in Susa, this city, is Mordecai. So what's up?
What's up?
And we got Esther say, hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
There you go. She's Southern. And Esther had a rough start to life. Her parents both died, and so now she is adopted by her cousin, who's older than her, so like kind of uncle age, but cousin Mordecai. Anyway, so Haman comes over. He's collecting all these pretty ladies. One of the ladies he collects is Esther. Grab Esther. Take her over to King Xerxes. So Esther and King Xerxes looks at her, and he says, I like you.
I like you.
And he says, come hold my hand.
Come hold my hand.
Come on. Come on. There we go. And they're holding hands. And it's great. And he says, you know what? You're my favorite. And just right away, he says,
you're my queen.
So Esther gets promoted to queen right away, and she gets all this favor. Isn't that awesome? Come on, give a hand for Esther. So that's really cool. We start to see God working through this. Haman, he gets promoted, and everybody that he sees is supposed to bow down to him. And so he walks by over by Mordecai, and does Mordecai bow? No, don't! You don't! You are a man of character! But you're like strong and bold, right? So hey, here's something cool. Mordecai was, who here has seen VeggieTales, right? Right? And so Mordecai, this old guy, Actually, no, it doesn't say his age, but it does say that he would always be at his post by the gate. So he most likely was a guard of the Persian army. And if you are a guard of the king, that put you in the elite soldier group. Who here has seen 300? So you know who King Xerxes is. And if you're in the elite soldier group of the Persian army, that would make you the Immortals. Do you guys know the Immortals, the dudes with the weird silver mask and like fought the, isn't that crazy? And then the crazy like giant guy like that. So that Mordecai was most likely a warrior and on the Immortal soldier group. Isn't that sick? Isn't that so cool? So exactly. But Haman, you got a lot of authority. And so when Mordecai doesn't bow down to you, you're like, I hate you, Mordecai.
I hate you, Mordecai.
Yeah, he ain't going to bow down. And so you look at him and you say, I hate the Jews too.
I hate thy Jews too.
So now he hates all the Jews. And because of Mordecai not bowing down, not only does he want to kill Mordecai, he decides,
I'm going to kill all the Jews. I'm going to kill all the Jews.
Oh my goodness. So Haman's mad. He goes back to King Xerxes and he says,
there's a people
that don't follow your rules.
We need to kill them all. We need to kill them all, sir.
King Xerxes says,
yes, cool. I'm cool.
I know you are.
So King Xerxes is like, all right, let's go kill all these people. And signs it, makes a decree. You can't back out of a decree. And they decide it is like April. And they cast some lots. They roll some dice. And they decide that the date that they're going to do this is on March 7th of the next year. So you have almost a year, but Mordecai and Esther are both Jews. So they're freaking out, right? Show me freaking out. Very good. Very good. So they're freaking out and Mordecai goes to Esther and he's like, yo girl,
yo girl.
You got to talk to your bro.
Got to talk to your bro.
So Esther and Xerxes, obviously, he's a fan of her. And they held hands. Don't want to start any rumors, but it got pretty serious pretty quick. Esther is afraid because if you walk into the presence of the king without him calling you, you can die. So Esther is like, heck no, techno, I'm going to die.
Heck no, I'm going to die.
Mordecai, he says,
you're going to die anyway.
So you might as well take a risk.
Okay, I'll try.
So this is word for word what they said. Here we go. Let's read this. Actually, I'll have you guys read it. Check this out. All right. Read this.
Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment because you're in a palace you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this.
Yeah, come on. And then this is Esther's reply.
Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same, and then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die.
Dang. So that's where we're at in the story. Can we give them all a hand? Way to go. Good job, guys. Come find me after. I'll give you a piece of candy or something. So that's where we're at. Does that make sense in the story? Right? So Esther, what's crazy about Esther is she is no one special except for two things. Two things. One, God had gifted her with a gift. And that was being beautiful, right? And that was like her only gift that she had. How would you like to be like have one talent and that's it? She is that model that you see that you're like, yeah, sure, you're pretty, but you're dumb. And you're like, you don't know anything. And like, you have no education and you have no character. And you have, you know, like things like that, where you're like, dang, man, you may be pretty, but I don't want to be you. Anybody ever seen that, thought that, right? Some of the ladies, you're going like, no, I just, even if I'm dumb, I want to look pretty. No, you don't. But this is, she feels like she has one gift and one gift only. And she's good at, so that's her talent. There's one thing that she's really good at that changes the world. That's obedience. And that's it. She has one gift and one talent. And it says in Esther 2:20, it says that she obeyed Mordecai in his house when she was growing up, and she obeys Mordecai as he gets these like military rules, and he hears about all this stuff, and he's like, Esther, this is what I need you to do. And all the whole time, she doesn't look like this extremely strong leader like you'd think of a queen or some of these women in the Bible that are like, holy smokes, you are insane, you have such leadership skills, and you have no. Esther's like, I can do what I'm told. That's what I got, and I'm pretty. Like, that's all that, and so that's what she's got going on. But obedience is the key in this story. Obedience is the key because what Esther learned is two things about obedience. She learned two things. First of all, she learned that obedience demands consistency. Obedience demands consistency. Jot this down. And what's going on is, you see, her whole life, she's been obeying in the little things. Her whole life, she's been obeying in the little things, and she's been following the rules and whatever instruction she's given, she does it. She goes to the king, and they have like all this preparation stuff where for a year they prepare her to see the king. And the whole time she's going, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And the people who are in charge of her tell her word for word what to do. And she just does it. That's all, and she just obeys. And the whole time, she's just following what Mordecai says. She's just following what her authorities say. She's just obeying obeying and honoring what God says. And so this is her talent, but it takes consistency. It takes consistency because just like you'll see this, that other people in the Bible that you'll see, like King David, right? Stud, warrior, king. Amazing things that he's got. Started in the little things. Started as a shepherd on the backside of the mountain. As a teenager, that's where he's hanging out. And you may say, man, he doesn't see the future that he has. He has no clue what's coming. We see it. And so we think like, okay, so he started there, but he ends up being king. No, just think about that. He's starting as a nothing, as a nobody. And all he's doing is just trying to build character in himself. And that's all Esther's doing. She just wants to be a woman of character, a woman who obeys, a woman who follows God, a woman who honors her authorities, a woman who is faithful in everything that she does. And that's it. And this character that she builds in this time shapes her. Because you can't expect to follow, to make up your own rules. And we think about this statement, and Mordecai says to her, look, I want you to go before the king. She says, if he doesn't want me, if he's in a bad mood that day, honestly, this dude, King Xerxes, he was like this selfish loser. And if he was in a bad mood and he didn't like you, he'd call for your head to be removed and done. That's it. And so King Xerxes, she knows if she walks in, it doesn't matter how much he liked her the day before. If he's not in the mood for being interrupted that day, she's off. She's either kicked out or killed. And the law says she should be killed. So this is the, and she comes to this moment, and Haman says, look, this is just, all you're doing is obeying. All you're doing is obeying. It's simple. It's basic. It's what you've always done, what you always have been good at. But we can't expect to have these key moments of obedience without having the consistency. So obedience demands consistency. We got to follow those steps. How many of you guys know if you don't follow the steps that you're given, you aren't going to get the right end result, right? Have you ever tried to assemble something without following the steps or not looking at the manual? And then you're like, man, this thing is stupid. When in reality, you're the one doing stupid stuff. Yeah, that's me. And I'm like, I want to figure this out on my own. The steps are right there. No, I'm going to figure this out on my own. And so we actually challenged our interns to do this. And we challenged them to bake a pie. But not to just bake a pie. We wanted Hannah to bake a pie and follow the rules. And Alan to see what it's like to just interpret the rules however he wants, and he can obey it however he wants. And we got a little video to show about how that turned out. So you see here, pinch edges to make it pretty. Bake pie crust, step away. Then you beat the cream. He's literally beating the cream cheese. I don't think that's what it meant. Then they add the pumpkin. Look how wonderful this is working for Hannah. And obviously for Alan, the spatula's backwards. Add sugar. It said add a cup of sugar, so he took a cup and put sugar in it. Mixes it around. Add eggs. Okay, you didn't see it. The egg literally exploded all over the entire kitchen. Eggs, milk, and butter. Mix it. He chooses whatever he wants to put in. Vanilla, cinnamon. Did you see how much cinnamon he just put in? Just try and eat a spoonful of cinnamon when you go home tonight. But stand close to a trash can. You will throw up. And so this is the end result that we get here. We got the pie in the back is the wonderful, beautiful pie that Hannah made. And it's this pumpkin pie that just, it smells good. It looks good. And then Alan, who has never cooked or followed instruction before, has this other pie that literally has eggshells in it. This one, ugh. If you see that, he added the butter, but he didn't take the wrapper off. So the butter is literally in its wrapper right there. And so what I need, I'm not sure which one works better. Keep them on up here. What I need is a couple volunteers. Try this out. Who wants to try out some of the, I already picked you. David, come on up. There you go. What's your name? Rice? Bryce. There you go. Come on up, Bryce. There you go. And what I want you guys to do, y'all can, here you go, David. Here you go, Bryce. Can we get someone who wants to try the real pumpkin pie? Who wants to try this? I saw your hand up first. Here you go. And then let's get another lady. Megan, come on up. There you go. And so, hold on. I'm going to set a rule real quick over here. You cannot swallow it. Because I don't know what eggshells would do to your intestines. That could not be good. You may poop blood for 2 weeks. I don't know. I really don't know. So go ahead and try some bites. See what it tastes like. You can swallow. Yeah, you can. It's just over here. Come on, eat. Take a bite, guys. Why is it so? How is it over here? Yeah. So good. I am convinced. What do you think, Bryce? You want to finish it? You take another bite. Take another bite. You guys can have some more. Eat some, tell me what the eggshell tastes like. It adds texture. It adds texture. Do you have any eggshell in your mouth? Okay. Pick the eggshell out and then you can swallow it. I don't want you to die. So I like you, David. There you go. Is there anything that's edible in there? I think you did. He actually did drop an entire egg in there without cracking it at one point. It wasn't. It wasn't the most successful. So what we'll do, we got some extra of the good pie for you. Look at, put that up on your fork. Hold that up. Look, do you guys see that? That's literally an entire egg, like a quarter of an egg just sitting there. So we'll get you guys some cake, some real pie for after. Can we give everybody a hand? Have them sit down. You can throw it away. Unless you want to. So who would say obedience is important in following directions for making a pie? Yeah? A little bit. We got, if you want to, you can dig it out of the trash can and try it and see what not obeying looks like. But a lot of times when we think about obedience, what do you think about? What do you think about when you think about obedience? The word obedience, what? Yes. Telling your dog to sit. What else? Yeah. Yeah, doing what, when I think about obedience, I think about like when I was about 5 years old and mom saying, go clean your room. And that's like entry level obedience. What do you think of, Jack? Following orders. Very good. So obedience is this basic principle. I got kids that are 5, 4, and just about to turn 2. And we are really working on obedience with our 4-year-old. There is something about him that just loves to cause chaos. Right, Elijah? Will Zion ever take your toys? Yeah, he does. And what does he do when he takes your toys? Does he feel really bad or does he laugh? Yes, he laughs hard. And we try and get him in trouble. And Zion's like, like trying to hold in a laugh. And I'm like, no, you are literally getting punished right now. Don't laugh. And he's literally holding back like tears of laughter the whole time. And so we're trying to teach obedience. Obedience is this principle that you learn from a child. And we see that in Esther. But obedience demands consistency. Because what a lot of us do is we learn obedience and then we go, you know what? That's a thing for children. That's not a thing for me. I'm too good for that. I'm too big for that. I'm getting older. I can make my own decisions. I'm going to do whatever the heck I want. And yes, you can make your decisions. Yes, you can do whatever the heck you want. But obedience is still key. And Esther understood this, that it demanded consistency. It demanded her being faithful day in, day out. And in that consistency over time made obedience possible in the hardest times. So obedience demands consistency. And the next thing is obedience demands courage. Obedience demands courage. What this is because in these times you'll see Mordecai and Esther in moments where they have to obey what God is saying, and Haman, who has the authority to kill Mordecai and his entire people group, but he knows he cannot bow down to Haman. He must honor and obey the instructions that God has given him, and he stands firm. And Haman says, the Bible talks about how Haman walks by him. He's having an amazing day, and he walks by Mordecai, and Mordecai stands there unshaken, not trembling, not bowing, not anything. And he stands there boldly, courageously. That is obedience that takes courage. Because you'll say, if you learn how to say yes to God all the time, the yeses sometimes will change a life. Someday a yes will change your life. Someday a yes will change the lives of those around you. Someday a yes could change the course of history. Now you'll see what happens here. Haman has a plot to destroy all the Jews. Now, what does this mean? It is literally, his plan is genocide by way of the purge. And he said, and he just issued a decree that anybody that kills a Jew on March 7th of this year gets $1,000 or $10,000, and they get to steal whatever the crap that Jew owned. And so it was on this day, Jews are open season. And this is... this is what is what Haman's plot is. Yet he doesn't understand. It's not only a genocide. There are prophecies in place at this time that through the line of David and through Israel, the Messiah, Jesus, is going to come. And so if he wipes out all the Jews, there's no Jesus. This literally shapes the frame of our entire lives and of our eternity. This is a huge decision that Esther has when she's standing before, ready to stand before the king and going, am I going to do this and risk my life or not? Because this shapes history. Someday, depending on the character, we all say and we all think, man, I know if someone held a gun to my head, if someone said this and they asked, do you love Jesus or not? If you love Jesus, I'm going to shoot you. You're going to die right here, right now. Will you do it? And so many of us in this room would go, yes, I will. Yet we haven't built up the character to actually say that's how we would respond. Because in the moment when the stress comes, when everything happens, you don't know unless you've built up the character over time. How have you built up your obedience? Have you built up the consistency to have the courage to obey no matter what? What if God asked you to take a risk? What if God asked you to risk your popularity? Huh, fellas? Get off your phone. Taking notes? What if God asks you to risk a friendship? What if God asks you to risk your relationships with your classmates, how they view you? What if God asks you to risk your safety? For him, I want to call you. I want you to go to the Middle East, and I want you to share my name with the lost there. There are people there that will kill you for saying the name of Jesus. Yet there are missionaries who have said yes, not because suddenly they just out of nowhere they got the boldness to say it, but because over time of consistency of saying, yes, God, I will. Yes, God, I will. Yes, God, I will. I will obey. I will wake up early. God, easy yes. Yet so many of us can't do it. I will wake up early to spend time with you. I will devote my life to you. I will let you shape my future. I will give you my passions. I will give you these things. And yet it gets harder and harder. I will give you my job. I will give you my friendships. Suddenly the decisions get harder and harder and harder. Do you have the consistency? Do you have the obedience to stand through? Because someday you are going to come face to face with an Esther moment, a key moment, when your obedience is going to shape the rest of your life. My father-in-law had a moment where he got a job, the job of his dreams, making twice as much as he's ever made. And then he gets asked to fire people, to change some numbers up so that other people have to get fired, to do some things that he knows is wrong. And he says, no, I'm not going to do it. I got your job if you don't do this. Easy. No one would have known. No one, literally, his boss was telling him to do it. His boss had a cover-up plan. Everything was ready. No one had to know. Behind closed doors, what's your character going to be like? What are the yeses you're going to say? How have you built that up? Because someday, it's going to shape your future. Our band can come up, and we can stand. Guys, I want to say, Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the small beginnings. Do not despise, don't think little of the little obedience that you do now. Because right now, you are shaping your future. If you want to be able to stand up and say yes, if you want to be a man after God's heart, if you want to be a woman who chases after God, who has high expectations of herself, if you want to be a person that has a spouse and a family that follows after God, that is blessed and has God's favor, if you want that in the future, you got to start shaping that now. You got to start making those decisions now. Because if you amplify the decisions that you're making now, what is that going to say about your future? Because that's what's going to happen. You know, I've heard it said that if a plane took off from LA heading to New York, and it changes its course by 1 degree, where's it put? Boston. A little further south, not too far. If you look at the trajectory, it actually sends it to Florida. The opposite side, from the northernmost to the southernmost part of the East Coast, it completely changes it, because 1 degree will change your life. The decisions that you make right now, the steps that you take, you may think they're insignificant, but they're literally setting the course of your life. How are you going to follow? What decisions are you making right now? What character are you building in yourself right now? How are you going to shape your future now? Are you ready? Are you preparing yourself for your such a time as this moment? Haman says that, or Mordecai says that to Esther. He says, perhaps, maybe, this is what you're maybe all this struggle, maybe all this junk that you went through to get here, being forced to marry a king, your dreams of having a husband and children and all that stuff that you've had your whole life out the window, yet maybe this is why. Maybe there's something more. And I want to take some time to pray, and as I pray, I want for some of us to take a stand. For those of us who are going, I'm going to make a decision to start. I haven't been making decisions that's going to lead my trajectory to where I know God's calling me. You don't have to have I know the job that God's calling me to. God's calling you to purity. God's calling you to holiness. God's calling you to righteousness. God's calling you to follow Him and to find and to be an example for others to follow Him, and to reach out to others who don't have the hope of Jesus yet in their lives, to have that, to discover that, to find that. If you haven't been making those decisions, I want this altar to be for you. But I also want to save the altar for one specific group in the middle. And that is, man, I've never made a decision to actually follow Jesus. I've never made that decision to turn my life around and stop focusing on myself and focusing on God and seeing how worth it is to follow Him. Because He's got a plan for your life way better than yours. May not be way easier than yours. Esther's plan, I'm sure, was a lot different than what she went. Way better. So I'm going to pray, and as we pray, if you're in one of those parties, if you're saying, man, I haven't been obeying like I should, I haven't been following God, I haven't been making the little decisions that are right, and I need to straighten some things out, I want you to come up to the sides and I want to reserve a little bubble right here by the podium, and if you go, man, specifically, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus for the first time. I want to follow Jesus, and this is my decision. This is my obedience, because He's calling you. He's calling you. This, if that's your decision tonight, that is the decision that will change the rest of your life, will change the rest of your eternity. Are you ready to make it for the better? Let's pray. Everybody close your eyes as I'm praying. And you, if you need to move forward, start moving forward. Everybody's eyes are closed. This is just your decision, your chance to move forward right now. In Jesus' name, I pray over everybody in this room that those you who you are calling, those of you who are calling to move forward, to challenge themselves, to challenge their obedience, to challenge the things going on in their hearts, in their lives, the decisions they've been making, Lord. I know you are calling us to higher. You are calling us to higher. And Lord, I pray over the students that you are calling, that we would respond. We would simply say yes. We would simply say yes. Obedience is all we need. God, in Jesus' name, I pray over every person that you are pulling. There are a couple people in this room who are not responding, who know they need to respond. There's some of you in this room who need to respond right now. And a physical response is going to be that thing that starts getting you into the breakthrough. Because standing still and doing it in your heart has been what you've been doing the whole time. And you haven't actually been living it out. And it's your turn. It's your time to live it out. It's your time to actually do something with it. It's your time to actually obey. That is your time right now. You've got to do something. You've got to move. Because obedience is not just saying it. It's not just thinking it. It's doing it. In Jesus' name, I believe that you are calling obedience us to a higher, a greater obedience.
Such a time as this, you call me, wake up, child.
We'll stand up together and go ahead and gather in close at the altar here. Gather in close at the altar. If you're saying, yes, I'm going to obey. Yes, I'm going to move. I'm going to start making new decisions. Come on together, and we're going to declare this, guys. You hear that? Can we get, there's a yes. There it is. There's a yes in our hearts. It carries through eternity. It's something that changes eternity. It'll change the trajectory of your life, the lives of those around you. Simple obedience. Yes after yes after yes. Okay, okay, okay. I will. It changes history. It changes your history. It changes the history of those around you. Let's declare it. But we aren't going to do it quietly. I want us to shout. Come on. And it carries through eternity. Simple obedience changes history. There's a yes in our hearts, and it carries through eternity. Simple obedience changes history. There's a yes in our hearts, and it carries through eternity. Simple obedience changes. You're around is different than the people that I'm around. How many people throughout the course of history have truly changed the entire planet? Not very many. As a single person, all by themselves, not very many. How many people have changed their world because of bold decisions? Not near enough. But you can. You can change the history. You can change the story. Lives of your life and the lives around you. Where you're headed, where your trajectory is going, just shift that 1 degree. And you'll end up where God's calling you. As you continue to say yes, no matter how difficult, no matter how bold, no matter how crazy, no matter how ridiculous it seems, I've got story after story after story of God telling me, God telling my friends, God telling other pastors, this is what I want you to do, and saying yes, that's in crazy ways that make no sense. It changes their story for the better. It changes the story of those around them. Their world is brought a little bit closer to heaven. God, I declare this and I pray this over every person in this room. Radical simple obedience. In your name, in your name, we all pray. Amen. Come on. Come on.